topic that I'd like to speak about tonight is very relevant for what's coming up a week from this Motzei Shabbos, which is Slichos. I know this year Slichos will be very different for so many of us as far as whether we'll be doing it indoors, outdoors, and even in terms of the times. So however it's done, hopefully we'll be able to make the most of it and it'll be a meaningful experience. And hopefully we'll have some more perspectives on this very important institution of our tradition, of our liturgy. So we have sources that I sent out to, you can download, and if we want, we can also do a share screen at some point as well. But let me first speak in general terms about the topic, and then we can look at some of the sources together. There's a certain mystique, I think, that we have when we think of Slichos. We may not even know much about it, but intuitively we know that once we get into the days, for Ashkenazic Jewry at least, that we're talking about the few days before Rosh Hashanah, that we say Slichos, we're in a different mindset. The night of Slichos itself, that first Motzei Shabbos, has a certain aura that we realize we're ushering in the Yamim Noraim. For Sfardim, of course, Slichos has already been said from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, so hopefully they're already in that spirit. But for Ashkenazim, it's coming up a week from this Motzei Shabbos. I want to pose a few questions. Hopefully we'll be able to address most of them, if not all of them, in the course of the shiur. We have to know the origin of the prayer of Slichos. When exactly was it composed? Why does it begin with an ashrei? Why does it have a tachnun that follows the various compositions of Slichos? Why do we keep saying Hashem, Hashem, Yud Gimel Midos, Kel Rachum V'Chanun? What about the structure itself of Slichos? What are its main themes? Why do we start with an ashrei, as we mentioned? Why do we have the Kaddish Tiskabel at the end, which is usually reserved for a formal tefillah like Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha? When we conclude the tefillah, we say Kaddish Tiskabel. Why do we start saying it, those of us who are Ashkenazim, why do we start saying it on Motzei Shabbos? Why do we generally say it very late at night, the first night, and some people even the rest of the week? What are the ideal times to say Slichos? Is it better to say it after Chatzos versus the morning? Why do we try to say it after Chatzos? What's wrong with doing it, you know, right after dark? How important is it to have a minion when we say Slichos? Are there halachic differences between one who says Slichos individually and if they say it with a minion? And what is the relationship between Slichos and the other tefillos that we're familiar with in the course of the day, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv? Okay, so those are some of the questions that we'll hopefully be able to tackle. Some general observations regarding Slichos, and then we'll look more specifically. The Rav spoke a lot about Slichos. Rav Sal Beitzig Zatzal loved to delve into Slichos and understand that what we're doing, even if it's a minhag, it's very much rooted in very important halachic concepts. And he developed a lot of beautiful ideas, which I'll share with you in the course of the time that we have. The first thing the Rav noted is that when we look at the Rishonim and even the Gaonim who mentioned Slichos, Rav Amram Gaon is the first Siddur that we know of, is Rav Seder Rav Amram Gaon. So he wrote about Slichos and the Rambam mentions it. And it's always spoken about as if it were taken for granted. It's not as if they were talking about something that had been recently composed, but it's something that was already, it was a custom that was embedded in their communities. And they speak about how v'nohagim, v'nohagu, this was something that was simply done and everyone was familiar with it. And at the same time, even though it is a minhag, it's not a mitzvah per se, it's not that we know of a takana midrabanan or a mitzvah d'oraisa per se, but yet there is a certain aspect in which when we say Slichos, we're fulfilling something larger than just the minhag. It actually emphasizes concepts that are very much rooted in the Torah and in Midrashim and Chazal, as we'll see. Okay, so the Yud Gimel Midos, of course, is a very big part of Slichos, and we're going to focus on that. But we also have those prayers at the very end, which sometimes we don't give the kind of attention to that we ought to, and we'll see in the source sheets how important those tefillos are. I refer to those tefillos of Aneinu, Hashem Aneinu, and Misha Anal of Ramavinu, Hu Yaneinu, all those short sentences, one after the other, where we talk about Hashem, answer us, answer us, answer us, as you answered people before us. And those tefillos are actually very powerful. I remember once davening with Sfardin, and I never had that kind of feeling with the Aneinus as I had there. They literally were chanting it together in unison, and it had a certain power when each Aneinu was said in unison, Aneinu in this way, Aneinu in that way. And somehow when we're davening on our own, it just gets kind of davened up, just kind of swallowed, and it you barely can say it. But it really is important part of Slichus as well. Another observation that we could mention, and we'll see the sources in a few minutes, as I noted before, Slichus has a structure to it. It starts with an Ashrei, it has a Tachnun afterwards, it has a Kaddish Tiskabel, which shows us that Slichus is a formal type of a tefillah convocation. I think that was the expression that the Rav used. It's a service, just as Shachris is a formal avoda that has to be structured in a certain way. It has Shevach, and that's the Psukei Dezimra, that's the praise of Hashem. There's the Shmoneh Esrei, which is the heart of the tefillah of Shachris. We have, of course, Kriya Shema as well, but then we have the Shmoneh Esrei, the Bakasha, and then we have a Tachanun, and we have a Kaddish Tiskabel that follows it. So too with Slichus as well, the fact that it begins with an Ashrei, which is Shevach to Hashem, and it's also like Mincha starts with an Ashrei, and we have the Tachanun, we have the Kaddish Tiskabel, it's patterned in some way after the idea of a formal service. And just as we say when we finish any tefillah b'tzibur, a kaddish tiskabel, that Hashem, you should accept this tefillah, tzlosim v'lusim v'chol Yisrael, kodavon divishmaya. So we do the same thing when we have this unique convocation of tefillah slichos, that what we're asking for in slichos should be elevated and accepted by a kaddish baruch hu, just as we say a kaddish tiskabel after any other type of tefillah b'tzibur. Let's do a little screen share. I'm still getting a little bit more comfortable with this, but I don't know if it's perfect. We'll see if I can show you the source sheet. I hope I can, although now I don't see what I thought I saw before. Okay, well, okay, I thought I had prepared it. I'm afraid that I don't see it. For some reason, this is how it works. If you do have your sheets, you can look down at your sheets and we'll do it that way. And if you don't, hopefully you'll follow me anyway. Okay, so the first couple of sources, I won't read them inside, but they basically reflect the points that I made in the beginning, how the various Rishonim and even Rav Amram Gaon and the Rambam talk about Slichos in terms of something they were familiar with, Nahagu, and this is what was done. You'll also notice that they speak about when it was done Mashkimim. They would get up, people would get up very early. The Torah doesn't say exactly when, how early, but in the later source, in other sources that you have, the Siddur Rashi, and in the Rambam, you see the Ashmores, which means that the custom, as Rishonim recognized it, was to wake up before dawn, before Amud HaShachar, and say these tefillos. So we have to understand what the significance of this time is. Now let's talk about Yud Gimel Midos, because of course so much of Slichos revolves around it. So we should understand the source for the Yud Gimel Midos is in Parshas Kisisa, and you have that in source 4 and 5, if you do have your sources in front of you. The context of it is Moshe Rabbeinu begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. And we know that after Chet Ha'egel, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up for a second set of 40 days, and then finally a third set of 40 days. And those third set of 40 days correspond to the period that we're in right now, between Rosh Chodesh Elul, the 30th of Av, and Yom Kippur. It was on Yom Kippur that Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Har Sinai finally with the second Luchos. And it was just before that that Hashem had said to Moshe, Salachti Kedvarecha. The Pasuk really appears by the Meraglim, but we use it also for the Egel. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had the second Luchos showed him that Hashem had forgiven Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. So in Parshas Kisisa, which is what describes how Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the third time with the Luchos that he had carved out, and it says there that Hashem Vayavar Hashem al panav. Hashem passed over, and we'll see the significance of the word vayavar in just a second. Hashem passed over al panav, which would mean ki'ilu on himself, so to speak, kibiyachol. Vayikra, and the way Chazal interpreted it is Hashem said these words, and Moshe Rabbeinu is listening to Hashem recite these words of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Gimel midos Hashem, Hashem keu rachem v'chanun. So what does that mean? Hashem is teaching Moshe something. Hashem is appearing to Moshe in an image of a nevuah. And this is, again, right before he's going to go down with the second luchos, just before Yom Kippur. And Hashem is telling Moshe, in Chazal's interpretation of this pasuk, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, source number 6, that we wouldn't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could put on an image, ki'ilu, as if he was a person, so to speak. But this was the nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he was covered with a talis, and he was a shliach tzibur, and he was reciting the Yud Gimel Midos, and he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a secret for you and Klal Yisrael to achieve kapara. Whenever Jews sin, you invoke these special qualities that I'm going to tell you, and you'll have a chance at getting kapara. This special revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu was, again, in Parshas Kisisa, connected to something earlier in the Parsha, again, where it's a back and forth between Hashem and Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to see his essence, his face. Somehow, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know the ways of God in the way that nobody else could understand. And Hashem said, of course, you can only see my back, you can't see my front. But what Hashem said at the same time was, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha, v'karasi v'shem Hashem lefanecha. This is in Source 4. This is a psukim a little bit earlier than the psukim Yud Gimel Midos, but it's really referring to what Hashem is going to show Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yikra v'shem Hashem, v'karasi v'shem Hashem lefanecha. I'm going to call out in the name of Hashem, 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 v'chanosi es asher achon, v'richanti es asher arachem. I'm going to show grace to that which I choose to show grace to whoever that is, and I show mercy to whoever I choose to show mercy to. Which is a way of saying that we don't understand why Hashem might decide to show mercy to somebody, but this is the way of Hashem. Hashem says, I will do it. You don't understand it, but there is a tremendous reservoir of rachamim that I have available to me, and just follow my lead. Hashem, Hashem, keu rachem v'chanun, connect with those words, say it with meaning, and you will be able to achieve something that you wouldn't otherwise be able to achieve. You'll be able to tap into that incredible reservoir of mercy, of v'chanosi es asher achon v'richanti es asher arachem. Rashi brings the Chazal, even if the person wouldn't otherwise be worthy. Usually we expect ourselves to earn what Hashem gives us, but somehow Yud Gimel Midos says that even if maybe you wouldn't make it otherwise, Hashem says, my mercy has no bounds. And therefore, just connect with these incredible qualities, unique qualities, and you can deserve kapara, even if you don't technically deserve it. So with that, we understand the idea of Chazal in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin, that Hashem, as I said before, he engrossed himself, he covered himself with a talis in this image of Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayavor Hashem al panav would mean, therefore, like the expression of a chazen, a shliach tzibur, who's over lifnei hateva. He passes in front of the Aron Kodesh to lead the congregation. So vayavor is like vayavir Hashem, is leading as if a new tzibur, Klal Yisrael, listen to what I'm doing, and this is how you should follow in my footsteps. This is an incredible idea developed in the Gemara and even more so in the Midrashim. You have a source here, number 8, Medrash Elio Zuta, that gives us tremendous power to the image of the Shliach Tzibur. And therefore, it sort of behooves us to think about whoever that chazen might be, the Shliach Tzibur, whether it's the first night Shlichus or really any other time, it's not just an ordinary Shliach Tzibur. He really, you might say, he's embodying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represented when he taught Moshe the secret of Yud Gimel Midos. It's really the Shliach Tzibur that's trying to bring out that incredible potential for kapara that is inherent in this tefillah of Shlichus. Now, in terms of the timing of it, we spoke about Mashkimin as a very unique time, and that's the time, of course, before Elos HaShachar, just before daybreak, the end of the night. Now, in terms of different times of, regarding different times of the day, as far as when a tefillah is misugal, it has a quality of being accepted. We know that on a tainus, there's a unique quality to the end of the day. For example, on Yom Kippur, the most powerful tefillah is ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is said just before the day is over. And we find in Ezra, the Psukim in source number 10, if you have a chance to see it, he talks about how he was confessing his sins, and we have Psukim of what appears here in our Slichos as well. And he says, it was at the end of the day that I was crying out to Hashem. And this is why by a tainus, Mincha has a special quality to it. And Ni'ilah, of course, on Yom Kippur has that quality. The Pasuk in Tehillim Samachtes, Vanis Filasi Acha Hashem Eis Ratzon. So the Gemara tells us that Mincha has a certain aspect of Eis Ratzon as the day is waning and the last hours of the day. That is considered an Eis Ratzon. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a suggestion of why that is, and you can look on your source sheets number 13. But apparently there's another unique time of the day that's considered an Eis Ratzon. I wouldn't say day, I would say of the 24-hour unit, which is really the night. And that is the night just before daybreak, but if not that, then any time during the night, but even more especially Chatzos and later. And that's why we find the emphasis here of Lakum Bashmores. The Mishnah Berurah says, based on Chazal, based on Gemaras, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is flying through the universe, the atmosphere of the universe during periods of night, and the end of the day, especially the end of the night, I should say, he's extremely close to us and we can access him. Now the Rav tried to make this a little more concrete in terms of down-to-earth halachic understanding of what the significance of slichos at night is. The Rav pointed out that generally the nighttime is reserved for either sleeping or, as the Rambam would have it, for Talmud Torah. The Rambam has a special comment in source 20 about a person who learns at night can actually be zocher, he can merit the keser ha-Torah, the crown of Torah. Person's ikar learning and growth in learning is the learning that comes at night. The Rav explained, but that's true normally. And the reason for that is as follows, because generally speaking, tefillah represents a sense of confidence. When we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we daven, we feel like we have an audience with the King and we express to Hashem what our wishes are and we feel proud that we can make those requests. And that's why Yom is generally the time for tefillah. And that's why Ma'ariv is only considered technically an optional tefillah, although we've accepted it as something that of course, for men, we daven Ma'ariv. But technically, halachically, we hold it tefillas aris v'shus, because day tefillah is more like the tefillah of confidence. Nighttime, we feel more helpless. And at night is not the time to feel that sense of pride when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel more weak. We don't feel the same sense of strength that we do during the day. But, says the Rav, and that's why, by the way, you'll notice, even the Birchas Kriya Shema that we have in the morning is longer than that we have at night, and that's because we add bakashos in the tefillah of Avarabba, and the tefillah of Yotzer Or, Rachim Oleinu, Adonu Zeinu, Tzur Miskabeinu, Magen Yeshenu, whereas if the counterpart tefillah at night, it doesn't have that much in the way of bakasha, because bakasha generally has to come from a position of confidence, which is what we represent by Yom. However, since Slichos is a unique type of a tefillah, and the tefillah of Slichos is to invoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy, and the sense of asking Hashem for Slichah v'Kapara means that we have to feel humble. And the Midah of Anava is very much central to the whole mindset of tefillah, of Slichos. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, being an Anav, is mentioned in that introductory paragraph to Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem Hashem, because Anava, the sense of why we deserve it, we don't deserve it. But if we feel we're undeserving, then that itself becomes a way of Hashem saying, you don't deserve it, but I'll give it to you because you've surrendered your sense of autonomy, and you know that I am the ultimate, and you know that you are frail and you're human, and you give up, so to speak. And because of that, you're zoche to something you wouldn't otherwise be zoche to. So we kind of let down our feeling of we're in control. And that's why nighttime is suitable for Slichos. And the Rav felt that's another way of understanding why Slichos is so associated with the nighttime. If you just go with the other approach about technically when is the most Eis Ratzon, so then you get into halachic issues about before Chatzos, maybe it's more of a, not exactly a good time to do it, and better to wait for Chatzos, and ideally wait for before Amud HaShachar. Okay, we have customarily added Slichos before Shacharis, whenever Shacharis is, so we've kind of lost that unique connection to Slichos being nighttime tefillah, except for the first night, but at least we're still trying to preserve the basic idea of having a tefillah that's focused on the idea of what Slichos is, which is to invoke Hashem's rachamim and to ask for kapara. The idea of the convocation of Slichos as a tefillah that has a structure to it, you find this in the Levush in Source 22. The Levush was around the time of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, this is why we say Tiskabel. He says that the Yud Gimel Midos will be in place of Shemona Esrei. That's the heart of Tefillah of Slichos. The psukim that we say that lead in the beginning, Shemir Tefillah, those psukim of praise, mostly from Tehillim, are the equivalent of Psukei Dezimra. And then we have the Yud Gimel Midos, which patterned after Shemona Esrei, the Tachanun at the end, and then, of course, the Kaddish Tiskabel. And it's not just the Levush. You really see this in earlier sources in Rishonim as well. The Anenu that I referred to earlier, there are sources of Anenu in the Mishnayos and Tainus. And they used to do this when they had special tefillos of the Tainus. They would say Anenu, Oke Avram Anenu, Anenu, Oke Yaakov Anenu, Yitzchak and Yaakov Anenu. And if you look in source number 24, we get a real picture of what Slichos was before Piyutim became embedded in a very big way in Slichos. And it's important to see that because although Piyutim now have become more center stage, they really weren't originally as much the central aspect of Slichos. Slichos used to be Psukim and Yud Gimel Midos, and then, as we said, the Tachnun at the end and the Kaddish Tiskabel. So in the Seder of Amram Gon, he says you start with an Ashrei and then a Kaddish and then Lecha Hashem Atzdaka. That's one of the psukim that we start with. And then 20-some psukim of Bakasha Tachanunim from Tanakh. Then the Kel Melech Yoshev introducing Yud Gimel Midos. And then they had more psukim from Tanakh. And each time there'd be a separation between one Yud Gimel Midos recitation, one Kel Melech and the other, but it wasn't with a piyut. It wasn't with a composition that we now have organized for different days of Slichos written by different people who wrote Piyutim. It was simply the Psukim, and then again a Kel Melech Yoshev, and then again a Yud Gimel Midos, and again some Psukim. What we find in our Slichos is that the Psukim give way then to a Piyut. Now the Piyut usually is working off of the theme of those Psukim. What people don't realize is that they think that the Psukim we can skip, and the Piyut is what's important. What originally was is the psukim that was said between one Kel Melech Yoshev and the other, and then the piyut became something added because piyut always sort of became more embedded in davening, just as we find, you know, on Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we'll speak about that on a different shir. And piyut now becomes part of the tefillah, and there were great rabbis who wrote these compositions. And we'll talk about it just very briefly, if we could touch on it, what the significance of these are. But it's not to be coming at the expense of the actual psukim, nor should it come at the expense of the anenus. The chidah, actually, it's not just the chidah. The sefer Hasidim mentions this as well. But the chidah, the Birkei Yosef says, if you look in source 27, Mashenagu ksas lomar anenu avinu aseu man shemecha b'mehiras gadol yesh levatam in hagam. There are those people who just literally rush through the anenus at the end. He says that's not good. The anenus should be said with focus and concentration. And so in the earlier source before it, the Sefer Hasidim says that there were people who ignored the psukim and emphasized the piyutim. And he says, realize the piyutim were written by great rabbis, Rishonim, and that's important also, but the psukim are Tanakh, they're preceding the piyutim, and obviously they're Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe the piyutim were not quite Ruach HaKodesh, so how could you ignore psukim and just focus on the piyutim? That's the comment of the Sefer Hasidim. Okay, so in terms of the actual piyutim themselves, let's, you know, give at least some kind of chashivas to it. Many of the piyutim are a little reminiscent, you could say, of Kinnas of Tisha B'Av. They often speak about sorrows of Klal Yisrael that the authors were familiar with, suffering, gzeros, how the non-Jews and the other religions were making us suffer. And the question is, why are we saying this as part of Slichos? How does that connect with the idea of asking Hashem for Slicha and the sense of humility and Tachanunim? How does the fact that we're talking about how we were victims at the hands of so many nations and so many, you know, non-Jews who were anti-Semites, why are we putting that into Slichos? But I think the answer has to do with, I want to read a sentence from the Siddur HaGra. The Siddur HaGra, one of the Siddur HaGra is written by Rav Yitzchak Nautzin. He was a Talmud of the Talmud of the Gra. And he says the following, that when a person says Slichos, he should feel the tzara of Klal Yisrael. They should identify with the suffering of the Jewish people. And I think that idea is what we're trying to accentuate, because Hashem loves us, and that's why he's there to give us Slicha Mechir Bekapara. And if we love the Jewish people, which is what Hashem loves, then we become on Hashem's team, so to speak. Then we are connected with Hashem. It brings us closer to Hashem because we show Hashem how much we care about our fellow Jews. And I think that's why it's important to feel the connection to even those things that don't directly speak to Slicha Mechir Bekapara. But the idea being that we are, you know, we are identifying with our people, and that's something which itself shows that we're not just in it for ourselves, but we feel part of a larger community, and Hashem should favor that community. We're running out of time in just a few minutes. Let me just try to mention a couple of quick things in terms of halacha that we mentioned earlier in the question section. Exactly why do we say this starting with Say Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah? But it has to be at least 4 days. You know, Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. So the four options for Rosh Hashanah would be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbos. So if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Monday and Tuesday, then we're not going to start Slichos the Motzei Shabbos before. We're going to start 1 week earlier, not the Motzei Shabbos immediately before Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday or like this year Shabbos, then we start the Motzei Shabbos before. So why is it? Because we need a minimum of 4 days. And why Motzei Shabbos and why 4 days? So there are a couple of ideas that have been mentioned. The Mishneh Berurah quotes this in Source 28, that there was a minhag at one time to fast Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which gives us 10 days. But of those 10 days, there are 4 days that you can't fast, including 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuva and Erev Yom Kippur. So to make up for those 4 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva that one could not fast, so you want to have 4 days that are designated that one would fast, and that would make up the 10 days for fasting, which gives us now the corresponding to minimum of 4 days. Why Motzai Shabbos? And there's another reason also that he mentions with regard to checking a carbon for a defect, for a blemish, and therefore in a certain sense we're checking ourselves, also leading up to Rosh Hashanah. The other idea though, which is quite interesting by the Leket Yosher, why Motzai Shabbos? He says because Shabbos is a time where we learn, and Shabbos is a time of simcha, and if we want to put ourselves in a spirit that we can feel happy that we have mitzvos in the Torah, and we can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a good feeling and a good spirit, we want to do it coming off of Shabbos. So even though, as we noted before, the Slichos is a tefillah that one feels helpless and one feels weak and one feels that we surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's important to not think of that sense of weakness as depression. It's important to see that even as we recognize our limits and recognize how finite we are and how dependent, and certainly we understand in the world we live in today, how dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know if and when there'll be a vaccine for the pandemic, and we know we really are b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's important at the same time not to let us feel depressed. And that's maybe why Shabbos is the time to segue into Slichos, because Shabbos is an uplifting day. And from that, we can enter Slichos, even as we know that we're weak and we're humbled. We also feel a sense of optimism and confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear our tefillah. And I'll just end with just one last thought in connection to the relationship between Slichos and the other tefillahs of the day. There is a halacha that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, a minhag, source 31, toward the end of your sheets, that I don't know how much we adhere to this today, but there is a custom brought that the one who daven slichos, the chazan daven slichos, should also daven the other tefillos of the day. And why would that be? So the Mishnah Berurah says simply because maschil b'mitzvah amlo gemor. You started a mitzvah, so you might as well be the one to finish it. There's an idea of finishing what you started. But the question is, why is this considered like one mitzvah? There's a separate tefillah called slichos, and then there's a separate tefillah of shachris and mincha. Why would it be maschil b'mitzvah amlo gemor? And the Rav thought a very interesting idea that slichos is not just a tefillah in its own right, but slichos is meant to elevate all the tefillos of the day. And he brought an analogy to this from Ne'ilah. And he had evidence and rice, which we don't have time to go into, that Ne'ilah is a tefillah at the end of Yom Kippur, that through it, all the tefillos that were davened Yom Kippur, starting with Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, get elevated through Ne'ilah. It's kind of a booster for all the tefillos together to ascend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rav thought the slichos has a similar motif in that the davening of slichos is meant to bring all the tefillos into a different zone so that they'll be more readily accepted. And just finally, I guess I would just leave you with the beautiful thought of the Alshech at the very end of your source sheets, number 36, where he notes that the language of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah of importance of Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael sin, Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Azeh. So literally that means they shall do before me according to this convocation, this order, this structure, meaning the tefillah of slichos. But why does it say yasu lefanai, asked the Alshich? It should say yomru lefanai, they should recite keseder hazeh. Yasu means they should act. And says the Alshich, because the real essence of Yud Gimel Midos is not just verbalizing Hashem, Hashem, kevurachim mechanun. The real crux of it and the power of it is to live it, to actualize it as a person in your life. Hashem's midos represent a roadmap for life. Just as Hashem, we are to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'halachta bedrachav, it's in this week's parsha, Kisavo, v'halachta bedrachav. We should walk in Hashem's ways. Mahu rachum, afatar rachum, mahu chanun. If we are acting toward our fellow Jew in a feeling of rahmanis, in a feeling of brotherly love and sisterly love and feeling compassion, so we are emulating Hashem, and that's the real power of Yud Gimel Midos, not just Yomru Kaseder Hazeh, but Yasu Fanai Kaseder Hazeh. Thank you all for joining. Have a good evening.